So we've been hearing all this week about the charity Site Matters. I'm joined by Catherine and Peter from the charity. And Catherine, we've been hearing about the wonderful work that you do here. And congratulations on the new role, by the way. How are you enjoying it so far?
Baptism of fire.
We've heard about some of the work you do, as I say. We haven't really talked much about some of the specifics of what you can provide for people who do have any sort of sight loss in any way.
So we look at equipment and assistive aids and technology. We can start at the simplest, right the way to the most complex. So the simplest will be equipment in the kitchen and a little thing like a liquid level indicator, which is a little gadget. It sits on the side of a cup or a pan, and it's a bit like a parking sensor on your car. When you fill, it starts to beep. As you're getting closer to colliding or overspilling, that the tone gets louder and louder and louder.
Genius.
Simplest things. Game changer for people. It prevents scalds. It prevents spills that then can prevent falls. So I know we've previously spoken about sort of funding and the position of what we can provide and the support from the public. A little thing can make such a difference. So, you know, for somebody, if they're thinking, I haven't got a lot, but I'd like to give something, but it's probably not worth it, £5 is a game changer for people. Little things like what we call bump-ons, which are a tiny little tactile. You can put them on your washing machine so you know the program. You can put them on your microwave so you know how far to turn the dial or which button to push. You can put them on your washing machine so you know which is program four or whatever. Again, game changer because it helps people manage in the home. And then we go right the way through all sorts of kitchen equipment, magnifiers, so we can do magnification assessments, the right magnifier for somebody, which isn't the one that they've probably inherited from their granny that's got a brass handle and it's been in the family for years. Yeah, but actually the right magnifier. Again, people can read their own bills. They don't have it to take at family friend or a neighbour. Hugely, hugely important for independence. And then we go through electronic magnifiers and electronic readers, all the way through to specialist technology for those that are blind. So £5 to £5,000.
First of all, genius creations here. I mean, how wonderful these things that just, as you said, are so simple but make such a change to people's lives. But people who have a full sight wouldn't really think about this.
Yeah, and a great example is we have tactile bands for shampoo and conditioner, because when you and I get up in the morning and we wash our hair, we know which is shampoo and we know which is conditioner. But if you've got a sight impairment, you don't know which is which. So a tactile band, it might be a spot, is conditioner, and a triangle is shampoo, and a square is body wash. So all the things that we take for granted during the day of how easy it is, you get up, you get out of bed, you go, you get showered. If you've got a sight impairment, there are so many more challenges, and the time that it can take to do things are so much longer. You know, if you then think, I'll go downstairs and I'll make a cup of tea, I'll go down and put the kettle on. Well, if somebody's moved your kettle and you've got a sight impairment, you've got risk. So actually, we know kettles can be a risk. Hot water, lift, particularly if somebody's older. So we have one cup does what it says on the tin. It's one cup of water. We've got the level indicators. We have talking microwaves. We have talking hobs, all of which help people retain their independence. But again, everything that we take for granted, we go home and we switch the cooker on. If we get burnt, it's usually because we've been a bit daft, isn't it? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a sight impairment, you can't necessarily see the gas flame till it's too late and you've been burnt. Your hob, you might not necessarily see the colour, and again, you've injured yourself. Whereas we have talking hobs and the halogen, so you know what you've set it to, and the minute you lift the pan off, it's safe. A talking microwave, everything you and I think of as normal routine, what we do. If you have a sight impairment, it becomes a challenge. So what we want to do is keep people safe, keep them independent, and fulfil their potential and have the lives that you or I take for granted.
Well, this is the thing, because it is, Peter, at the end of the day, it is providing this independence, as Catherine's saying, because it can massively impact, I'm guessing, your mental health as well, because especially if it's something that comes on, you know, if you have a sort of degenerative condition, being able to keep a certain level of independence must be so important for so many reasons.
Yeah, well, I think the mental health aspect is really important, and that's certainly something we see, particularly with people who are newly diagnosed, but also people who've had sight issues for a long time. It can be very isolating. Navigating public transport can be difficult. So if you live somewhere out of town, it can be hard to even see people, meet friends and family. So that's, I think, the importance of the social inclusion groups that we do. And the outreach work that we do too, just to make sure that people, they're not left on their own for protracted periods of time, and they do have access to all of the support that they can, that we can give them.
And how do people, if somebody's listening and they're thinking, well, you know, I don't have an extreme level of blindness or anything, but I do struggle, I do have difficulty, how do they approach yourselves for support and sort of advice?
Well, there's a variety of ways, and you don't have to be registered blind, or you don't have to have a medical diagnosis to get in touch with us. So you can come up to the centre, you can give us a call, you can go on our website, you can get referred to through GP or through the wellbeing. So we're very open, really. If you would like to get in touch, if you are concerned about your sight, please do, and we'll do what we can to help you.
So as Peter says, we want as many people through our door as possible. So even if you don't think we can help you, please call us, because you never know. And we make our approach as wide as we can, hence the change to having a visual impairment rather than just being blind, because actually, if we can help and support at an earlier stage, we can't stop somebody losing their sight. As good as I like to think we are, we can't stop somebody losing their sight. We can't give them their sight back. But what we can do is support them, help them manage, help them to adjust. Your point about mental health, 40% of people with sight loss suffer mental health issues, understandably. People come to us in crisis. We're not mental health professionals, but somebody having the time, showing them it's not the end of the world, because with this and this and this, these are the things that you can do. Generally, people will walk out of the door with a smile on their face, despite their changing circumstances. So we keep it simple. Ring us, get a friend to ring us, as long as they have your consent. Get your GP, get another health professional, get any other third sector or charity that you're involved with. We'll take as many people as we can if we can get them through the door.
And just to touch on as well, Peter, before we go, what was mentioned again earlier, this idea that it's not necessarily also just for those people with visual impairments, because, of course, friends, family, people that are also trying to work out, how do I help? How do I deal with this? How do I approach this?
Yeah, so we do have a range of educational material. There's some stuff on our website. And I'll just go back to Catherine's referral point. You can actually download the referral documents from our website. They're all available there, and there are accessible versions available too. It is part of our mission to educate, firstly, to be kind of torchbearers in terms of accessibility in the community, and leaders in terms of best practice, digital accessibility and physical accessibility. Dave is an accessibility consultant, so he knows what he's talking about when it comes to that sort of thing. I'd say if you're concerned, if you've got a particular issue or a question, just give us a call, get in touch. We'll probably be able to help. And if the person you speak to isn't able to help, I'm sure they'll be able to refer you to someone who can.
Well, what we should really finish with then, Catherine, is a reminder of the telephone number of how we can contact you.
Absolutely. 674727.